up? This is Jordy Angela.
And it's your main man, B-Dot.
And this is the checkup. B-Dot, how you doing today?
I'm good. I can't complain. I couldn't call if I was a referee. How you doing?
I'm pretty good. So how was your Thanksgiving? How was, you know, the whole weekend?
Man, my Thanksgiving was good. It was my first vegan Thanksgiving. I went home, spent time with my mama, my daughter, my family. So it was dope, man. I had me a couple, I think they were called Awesome Burgers from Ruby Tuesdays. Made me some homemade jambalaya, vegan jambalaya. Yeah, with some tater tots. So my Thanksgiving was pretty cool. Shit, how about yours?
Mine was pretty good. You know, it's crazy how fast life can change. Last podcast, you know, the last episode you was, you know, eating meat, and the next one you turn into a full-fledged vegan. Life can come at you fast. That's all I'm gonna say.
You know how dudes be. You know how dudes is when they like a girl and the girl do some stuff and he try to act. You feel me? You know. But yeah, I can't complain. My 30 days finish up tomorrow. Well, actually, it's my 30 day today. So tomorrow I'll be able to eat whatever the hell I want, and then I'll start it right back again for another 30 days.
So I gotta ask you this: like, do you feel? Because a lot of vegans say they feel different when they're not eating meat. So how do you feel like a difference in like the way like your body feels?
I mean, in terms of my stomach used to hurt a lot, and I used to like always have to go to the bathroom for a long time. But now I'll be on the now I'll be on the toilet 20 minutes tops, and I'm out.
20 minutes tops.
That's the one thing I have. You know, I'm waking up earlier and all that. But other than that, man, it's Gucci. I feel good.
That's what's up. Well, I'm glad, you know, your vegan life is going well. My life's going good. But, you know, my world took a complete drastic turn yesterday when they announced that Russell Westbrook was traded to the Wizards.
Was it drastic, though? I feel like this is the best situation for Russell.
It is the best. Russell, I had to process it.
No, I feel you.
Yes, I went through a lot of emotions yesterday.
Oh, no. That John Wall and James Harden. That sound good too, and he got his old teammate Boogie. Come on, man!
I did like the Boogie. Yes, the Kentucky. I did like that. We have a lot to unpack. This whole situation is a lot to unpack because there's so many different dynamics with the John Wall and James Harden thing to the John Wall and Houston gonna get it, and then you got Russ and Bradley Beal. People are saying that could be the best backcourt in the NBA. By the way, with him, Russ and Bradley Beal. That's what they're saying. But yeah, it's a lot to unpack. This is the first time Russ has been East. So
Russ about to go crazy.
I can't wait to see it.
Russ about to go crazy. Russ averaging 23, 8, and 8.
Because you know he averaged 27 this past season with the Rockets.
Yeah,
he
but that was without him playing the point guard. He was
right
in the point role. He wasn't able to contribute. I think more he'll get back into that point guard role.
I'm interested to see, you know, what his numbers look like and what Bradley Beal's numbers look like. Because, you know, I think Bradley Beal Danger averaged like 30 points.
Yep. Yeah.
So I'm interested to see like how much his numbers change and how. Now, the good thing about this is that Bradley Beal can play off the ball, which is a great thing because the, you know, Kevin Durant could and James Harden, you know, he was more ball dominant. Paul George could play off the ball. But I feel like as far as off the ball players, besides Kevin Durant, I think this is like Russ's best teammate that can play off the ball besides Kevin Durant would be Bradley Beal.
I'm going to keep it honest. Last time Russ had a guard or a wing that could get his own and that was pretty solid wing, that wing was in the MVP race. So all the people talking all that junk, how Russ hurt this person, hurt this teammate. Last time he played with a legitimate wing, that's the last time we seen playoff P. That's the last time we seen a legitimate Paul George.
Right.
When he was with Westbrook and he was fourth in the MVP race. Stop playing with Westbrook name.
They have to stop playing with Russ because my thing is this. Everybody has their own narrative about Russell Westbrook. And his teammates come out all the time and say, this guy is a great teammate. This guy has propelled me to different levels. Every single person has said this. Even KD has said this. People who, when they try to bash Russ, they use him. But even he praises Russell about, you know, how good of a teammate he is. So my thing is, if everybody else is saying this, then why are these narratives so big about him being a bad teammate and him being selfish and a stat pattern and everything else, and he only care about himself? Like, I don't understand it, because at this point, it's just ignorance. It really is ignorance. Like, you'll think something, and then his teammate will come out and debunk it. He's like, no, that's not true, because I saw it. But his teammate's literally saying he's not that.
Because that's what makes the highlights. That's what makes the for people to write about. If you think about it, I mean, shoot, Russ, 7-time All-Star, seven, eight, nine-time All-Star, once a league MVP. Like, ain't much you can say bad about this man. You feel me? Like, people, the media, they make it that way. But I mean, if you think about it, it's been a pattern like that. Let's look at your Rondos, look at your Kobe's, let's look at your Jimmy Butler's. Those guys those guys that play with their heart on the line and, you know, want so much out of their teammates, they're not play wittable. Right. But no, those are real leaders that lead on and off the court. They lead vocally and by example. You feel me? So you gotta understand with to this day, people still hate Kobe as a player because they thought he was selfish, egotistical, you know, wanted it to be about him. Not at the end of the day, he just wanted to get the best out of everyone else. The effort that he was putting in, he wanted his teammates to match it. So
exactly.
Oh, no. I also heard that through the grapevine that Mr. Jameson Harden had preferred.
Yes, I saw that.
To play with Mr. Jonathan Wall.
Over Russell Westbrook.
So I'm
felt away. You know, I felt away about that. I'm not gonna lie. I went through a very salty phase this morning. I saw that people were sending me that, and I said, okay. Because here's my thing. James Harden is a very talented scorer. I praised him before, but my thing is, at some point, my thing is, every player is great. Every player has to own up to their flaws at some point. Kobe had to do it. Michael Jordan had to do it. Everybody had. Even LeBron has to do it. My thing is this. James Harden, you are literally chasing everyone out of Houston, and you have been the common denominator of all of them. Dwight Howard, Chris Paul, now your best friend Russell Westbrook, and now we're getting to John Wall. And my thing is this. I feel like we're going to see three things this season. We're going to finally see Steph by himself for once ever, so we can see what he looks like.
Well, we did see him by himself last year. It didn't look good.
Right. Didn't look good. Then he got injured. Yep, so we get to see him for a full season by himself this year. We get to see Russ as a floor general, surrounded by shooters, which we've never seen like that before. He had shooting OKC, but he really got shooters on in a bona fide go-to square playoff. So he has a good roster. We get to see Russ finally do his thing, and we get to see James Harden, and we're going to finally see if he's being toxic, or is it truly just the other players coming in? I think we're going to see those three things this year, and we're going to see how it plays out. We're going to definitely see how those things play out.
Prove a lot. I like John Wall. I've always liked John Wall. I've always considered him, I don't want to say a poor man's Westbrook, but it's like John Wall could be Westbrook. They're very similar. John just got to get that mid-range jump shot a little bit more quicker. You know, it's more of a set shot, but which he's been working on. But at the end of the day, people forget John Wall is a pass-first point guard. John Wall loves to pass, and he's always in the top five in steals at the end of the year.
Right.
Stop playing with John. John Wall is one of the most explosive point guards, especially, and he loves to pass. So I think, I mean, I don't want to say he's ball dominant, but he's used to having the ball in his hands.
Right.
And, yeah, it'd be very interesting to see, because this is a different shooting guard than Bradley Beal. This shooting guard is one of the all-time greats that he'd be playing with now. So it'd be very interesting to see how they work. I think it's going to be their fast break points will definitely go up, because, I mean, they still have Eddie House. Oh, why do I keep saying Eddie House?
Daniel.
They still have Daniel House. They re-signed Gerald Green after his broken
foot. They did trade Robert Covington.
Yeah, they traded Robert Covington. But in terms of wings that can run and get out, they still have those guys. So it'll be more of a traditional offense this year, which I'm thank God I'm ready to, you know, look to instead of James, you know. It was fun him averaging 50 and watching that, but it kind of got repetitive, especially when it didn't work and didn't look good. So it'd be good to get back, you know, to that actual how basketball is played. So, and I mean, and I should show you Dan and Tony's worth right there. I'm not saying that he probably didn't have any other jobs available, but he had to take an assistant to a guy that he coached, made, that he coached and almost and damn near made into a superstar with his offense. So it's dope when you're able to see the student become the teacher. Not saying that he's still teaching Dan and Tony, but I mean, you know, as that higher up level. So I think Steve Nash will win, you know, coach of the year just because it'll be his first year and those guys, they should do pretty well. But yeah, man, I don't know, man. I also seen that, and I already think I already know who the player is too. I'm gonna just say it was an excerpt that came out that said a player from the Clippers was saying how they didn't. It was crazy how Kawhi Leonard was getting the preferential treatment that he.
Oh, it Montrez.
It was crazy.
Pat Bell, Lou Will.
No. Yeah. I feel like it's Lou Will. And even Paul George was talking about nothing against Kawhi, but Paul George came out and said that Doc had him playing like he was Klay Thompson, Ray Allen, or mm-hmm. J.J. Redick.
Saw it.
He said he was coming off down screens. He was like, he played like that, but he said he could do more. Honestly, Paul, I'm going to keep it a bag. A lot of the times I've seen you play, you had the ball in your hands. Okay?
Yes.
Not saying you wasn't coming off down screens, but you had the ball in your hand. Pick and roll situations, you were still pulling up for that three. You were still settling for that jump shot.
And he got it. They said that he either scored or he got it 33% of the time in a pick and roll situation. So my thing is, that's the highest he's ever had in his career.
So what is you saying, PG?
So like, what are you talking? Do you remember what I said about Paul George? Mr. Excuses. Mr. I love to make excuses when everything goes wrong. That's Mr. That every time I just see him play, and not see him play, every time I see him in a press conference, I just don't want to listen because it's just going to be excuses. All he makes, I don't know what happened after he broke his leg, but he has not been the same player. Like, this is not Indiana dog, I'm going to eat you, Paul George, that we're like we used to see. This is a sap. He's soft and he makes excuses. I can't do it. He just makes excuses every day. It's always something new.
You know, you ain't lying. You are not lying. I was talking to somebody the other day, and they were saying, and there was someone in the NBA, and they were even saying that they just got tired of hearing what Paul George was saying and kind of like, you know, was losing hope in him in terms of as a player and respect. I still have all the respect for Paul George. I mean, you know, players, they go through stuff like this sometimes. But I don't know. It'd just be interesting to see what they do with that Clippers team. And if they, you know, if they decide to ship off Paul George, it was crazy that I also seen that Golden State was trying to make an offer for James Harden at one point during trade. And I would have loved that because, like I said, Steph can play off ball. You feel me?
Right. So,
and man, that I don't know, man. That's just a different, more. I don't know. I wish the fans were able to get involved because that's just a different level. That's a different level of excitement with James Harden versus Klay Thompson.
Yeah, anything to take out the Lakers. Anything. I will go for the Pelicans, the Rockets. Even after that trade of Russ, I'll go for anybody to beat the Lakers. I literally pray on their downfall daily.
Oh, my goodness.
And to double back just for a second with the Rockets, and the league in general, what team in the West do you think has to – because everybody's saying, you know, the Lakers, you know, they're the top contenders. Me, personally, no bias aside, I feel like they got better defensively in some areas, adding, like, Wesley Matthews and Dennis Schroeder. But at the same time, I feel like they got worse defensively because you don't have any rim protection. Because Marcus Gasol, he's won Defensive Player of the Year, you know, years ago.
Yes.
But he's really not a rim protector like Dwight Howard or JaVale McGee was. So I'm interested to see, you know, what that looks like. But with all that being said, who do you think is the biggest threat in the West to the Lakers. Me personally, I think it's the Mavericks. Who do you think it is?
Oh, I mean, I like the Mavericks. I definitely do like a healthy Mavericks team. To be able to compete against those Lakers. I don't know if they'll be able to take them down, but man, that's a great Preguntas.
What about the Rockets? Do you think, like, if the Rockets, like, if everything went right, let's say hypothetically, everything went right with them.
I'm going to keep it a bag. I think the Rockets still need a legitimate 3 and 4. If they was able to land, you know, they lost Rob Covington, but if they was able to get, you know, let's say Jeremy Grant, that would have been amazing. But they weren't, so they really lost a void, especially on defense in that area. Man, I'm gonna keep it a bag, and I'm just have to. And it's probably gonna be a shock to everyone, but I'm gonna say the Nuggets, man. And the only reason why I
even
say the Nuggets,
with losing Jeremy Grant.
Yeah, even with losing, Jeremy Grant was a great piece. And not saying the Nuggets, you know, they lost two of their three.
They lost him and
Torrey went to Milwaukee.
And they lost
and Mike Beasley.
White guy. Tall Plumlee, white guy. Plumlee? Mason Plumlee. Plumlee. They lost him too. Yeah, they did get Jamichael Green from the Clippers.
And I do like that. Yeah. And that's a solid replacement. He's not as explosive as Jeremy Grant, but he does shoot it better. And he's not as good on defense. But in terms of being able to see them, you know, being able to see those Lakers they were before, even though it's still a different squad, it's still LeBron, it's still AD, it's still the same DNA. So for them to be able to have to see them in the finals, in the Western Conference Finals, and you know, be able to see how LeBron is now, see how he plays, see how AD play, I don't think it'll be a better challenge than the Mavericks, because I like the Mavericks. I like the Mavericks healthy. If the Mavericks are somehow able to get Jokic and make that European, that all European team.
That European trio. That would be scary.
Different. I don't know if you heard what Giannis said. I don't want to say he's humbled himself. I think he's always been humble, but as he plays, he has that chip on his shoulder, which I like.
Right.
You know, when they was beating the Lakers, you know, last season, and he put the crown on his head, like, this is me now. And he got humble real quick. I respect what he said in terms of he's not the best player in the world right now. It is LeBron. And he's not leaving Milwaukee no time soon. He said if LeBron and, you know, Kevin Durant want to come play with him, then y'all can come out here. But
he needs to stop all of that and come to Miami.
He did say that he did not want to leave the NBA without winning a title first. He said he'll play until he's 45. And he was saying that because he was saying it in the terms of, I have to think of that mindset because that's how I get better. That's how I push myself every day. I know I got to improve on my jump shot. I know I got to improve on, you know, certain other things. But he said those are going to get better. He's working on that every day. So I like the approach Giannis is taking. I understand, man. He's taking more of the healthy Carmelo route. Because Melo knew that he wasn't about to get no help in New York after taking that contract. You feel me? So
yeah.
So, like, hey, people be hating, and you can't talk shit because
I just wanted to come to Miami.
All the people that you really don't rock with or really feel some type of way about, they loyal to their team. Dame Lillard said, "My nigga, I ain't going nowhere." He said, "We gonna make this shit happen." Giannis, I ain't going nowhere. We gonna make this shit happen. So I love the loyalty. I love when people not jumping.
I love loyalty. I do. I really do. And I put my hate aside. I've grown a little bit over the offseason. I put my hate aside for Damian Lillard. I have no problem with him. The reason why I roll my eyes on Giannis because I want him to come to Miami.
Shut the front door. Shut the front door. Shut the front door.
With the rest of the dogs.
Shut the front door before I have Ben do some first take type shit and edit. Go back to the previous podcast when you were saying, we do not want Giannis. Please do not bring Giannis back to Miami. Please not bring him to Miami at all. Now you want him.
Yes, we want Giannis.
I'm about to have Ben go back into a previous podcast on some Max Kellerman, Tom Brady type ish. And go back to where you quoted, we do not want Giannis. We do not want any big-time free agents. We just want somebody that can fill those certain voids.
Well, Giannis, I have also humbled myself. And so me and Giannis have something in common. And, you know, after, you know, give it some time, we would love to have you. I mean, we would love to have you. And just looking, I'm not going to lie, I keep seeing all these videos of Kevin Durant, you know, shooting the gym. And every time I get scared, man, I'm like, crap. So I was like, and then the whole James Harden crap. I said, Giannis, go ahead, come over here.
They would have make they'll make it work. I mean, if James would have went to Brooklyn, they would have made it work easily.
Right?
Because they're grown ass men. I hate when people be like, it's only one ball. Y'all said the same thing about D Wade, LeBron, Miami. Y'all said the same thing about Steph, KD, Clay. Like y'all, even with James and Russ, they still average 30 each. 25 plus each. Yes, it's one ball, but when you're a grown-ass person and it's only three people that's really taking majority of the shots, you're going to make it work. So shut that ish up.
Shut that up. And Giannis, go ahead and, you know.
But Joy, I think I might get back into my training real, real hard. I think I might take an attempt and try out and go and try to get to the league, Joy. They legitimize marijuana.
I forgot about
and you know I'm an edible person. So honestly, I would ask you, who do you think is gonna be the first person to show up high to a game? And I already know your answer, which
no,
was
it's
wrong.
Not. I'm not gonna say
which
I'm
you
not
was
gonna
wrong last time.
I'm not going to pick on JR. I'm going to pick on Deion Waiters this time. I think if he
gets Man, Deion don't play anyway. Deion can come to the game high, coked up, crack.
Someone who plays. I mean, I'm not familiar with all of the weed heads in the NBA. Because I'm Michael Beasley. He doesn't play. He doesn't have a contract right now. I just know Michael Beasley, Deion, and JR. That's all I'm familiar with. And I know Matt Barnes came out and was like, oh, well, hold up. I'm about to come out of retirement and try to come play since y'all I saw that.
The thing is, 95% of the players in the league smoke marijuana. That means they get noticed about it before they're about to have a drug test, you know, maybe a week or two, and they have certain pills that'll flush it out. But I honestly think it'll be a superstar player. It'll either be between a star and a superstar player that will come high to a game, and it will be one of those games where it really doesn't matter. You know, one of those games where this player knows he's not going to play as much, or it's against somebody like the freaking Cavaliers or something. No offense to the Cavs. I love their team. But let's be honest, comparing it to another league. So I kind of think, shit, I'll give it. James will come to the game high. And it'll only be if someone noticed, if it'll be someone – close to him or someone that watches James a lot, because I think he'll still be able to put up 30, but it'd be more nonchalant. And yeah. So I think, and a lot of times, bro, players smoke before the game to calm their nerves. And a lot of times players play better high. I can't. It's hit or miss. And I eat edibles, so I don't smoke weed. So it's a body high for me.
Got it. See, I was wondering that because I was like, I wonder like, if how it affects your body. Some people say like, oh yeah, well, I think better or I'm more aware or whatever when I smoke weed or whatever. And some people say like, oh, whatever. So I was wondering like how it affects your body when you're actually like playing like a sport.
It really just depends on, you know, it depends on what type of, you know, how does it affect you personally? Like I said, I don't smoke. So when I eat my edibles, my whole body be high versus when they smoke their marijuana, it just really be a head high. Shit, but you still be fried. So a lot of people, I don't know, that'd be very interesting. But I know a lot of players, especially like most of the guys that grew up in like the rural urban hood areas, they used to playing high. So that's, hey, shout out to Adam Silver, bro. That's what's up. Because at the end of the day, bro, you can use marijuana, CBD, that is used for, you know, relaxation, stress, anxiety, you know, recovery. It's way better than these pills, these Band-Aids. So shout out to Adam Silver for, you know, being able to adapt to the culture, bro, and to continue to adapt in almost, it feels like, every goddamn season. So, hell yeah, bro. Stop playing with us, bro.
Maybe John Wall. Who knows? We'll see.
My boy told me he can't trust John Wall in Houston. I said, bro, what are you talking about? First of all, everything's closed now. John Wall, when the hell have you heard about him being a partier like that? And he said, bro, fuck that. John Wall fucked his Achilles up drunk as hell at the crib. I can't trust him. I said, get off my phone.
He didn't even need a club.
I said, get off my phone. What do you think?
If he, I don't trust him in Houston either, by the way. Definitely not Miami.
But ain't shit open in Houston. So he goofed, man. Watch. John Wall and Russ, this is about to be their redeem season to prove all y'all wrong. Even though Russ ain't do nothing bad last year. They just didn't like how he was in Houston.
Yeah, and the thing is, someone asked me earlier, they was like, Joy, they was like, if Miami and the Wizards played each other, who you going for? I said, nobody. I can't pick. With Russ, because I feel like Miami has somewhat gotten their respect from most people. But Russell Westbrook is I feel like he's the most disrespected player in the league. Honestly.
He is, bro. There was only three teams that said that was interested in him. But get the fuck
that
out of here,
was
bro.
Very disrespectful for one. And for two, and people were like, oh, he got a bad contract. Okay, Chris Paul had a bad contract. Right. So what? So I get there two different guards, but I don't want to hear all that because Russ just came back from a 27-7-8 season shooting 47%. So I don't want to hear none of that. So my thing is this. Not only that, but like I said, people constantly, every time I post about Russ, it's constant hate.
Constant.
So my thing is, I just hope this guy come in the freaking arena and just kill every game. I hope he kill the Lakers and everybody else because they are coming for this man's neck. The freaking Rockets, Pelicans, Nuggets, freaking Cavaliers.
Oh, you know when he play against the Rockets, he's going to have that same energy Chris Paul had.
Facts. And against the Rockets, against Portland. And that's just competitive, you know, stuff. But, you know. When Russ got it, when he played on OKC, anytime he played Golden State, he was about to break his neck trying to get all in.
Of course.
So my thing is, I can't wait. And I feel like this is going to be different because they said, it came out today that he's actually bothered by the whole bad teammate thing. Like he's really been really bothered by that. And that's the first time I've heard that when I interviewed Anthony Morrow, he told me like Russ actually gets sad and bothered about those type of statements. But that was the first time I've ever heard about him being emotional about something and that actually getting out in the media. Cause he's really, really closed off about stuff like that. So I feel like, that combined with just the whole situation, like the whole hated on and not getting disrespected by the owners, not getting pursued, I feel like this is going to be very interesting. I feel like he's going to really, really, really like be on like a rampage this coming regular season. I really feel it.
Man, all I got to say is niggas better watch out for Russ and Bradley Beal. They about to pipe up. I just can see Russ's energy after Bradley hitting a three.
I know.
You got to understand, at the end of the day, they're two of the most disrespected players in the league. Bradley Beal should have been an all-star.
Yep.
Easily, you feel me? And Bradley Beal is still mad about not getting his credit. So Bradley Beal about to make the playoffs. He's about to be an all-star. Like, bro, he's easily one of the best guards, if not the best guard in the East. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying that over Kyrie Irving. And I'm saying that over, not even, I don't want to say Jimmy Butler, but I mean, regular season-wise, Bradley Beal is a better player.
He's a better player
than Jimmy Butler in terms of statistical wise because Jimmy knows what he has to do for that team. Jimmy doesn't have to score 50. Bradley Beal has to score 30. So, man, it'd be very interesting to see. Oh, shout out to your fourth cousin for becoming an assistant coach with the Boston Celtics. My boy, my brother Evan Turner. that's major, bro. A lot of people that really don't know basketball are probably thinking like, what the hell? Like, was he not able to get the contract? Like, I don't like. At the end of the day, it's about staying within the game. And he's young, he's able to relate to the players, and he grew up in the generation before and the generation now. So he'll be able to talk to those young players. You know, those Jason Tatum's, those Jaylen Brown's, and be able to relate because not only did he damn near play with him, you know, he knows that Celtics system. Evan like white girls anyway, so he been wanting to get back to Boston forever. When Evan was in Boston, that nigga loved Boston. You feel me? Portland ain't a bad place either for the white biddies. You feel me? So he was happy there too. You feel me? But Boston, that's where E.T. was on that bike climbing over the mountain. You feel me? That was the E.T. we knew. So shout out to Evan Turner, bro. That's my boy.
Yes, that's super duper big for him. And like I said, he could have played. People like, oh, he must have been trash. No, he could have still been playing, right? For sure.
So former player of the year, the NCAA, yeah. Stopped playing with us.
And so it's just like, but it's crazy. I'm not gonna lie, that was random. I was not expecting that. I said Evan Turner became a cop. I said, what? This dude, because you know, you see that after people retire. This dude didn't retire. He just said, I'm not gonna be a coach real quick. So right, I wonder if he gets like tired and like want to become a coach, like a player again, that'd be crazy.
He probably was just getting respect as he was as a player, because I mean,
right.
And then, but he also probably knew that he might not have had that much left in the tank. You know, you never know, considering injuries or what's going on. Because I mean, like I said, this is the player out. This is NCAA Player of the Year. You know, fresh out of Ohio State, hitting game winners from half court. I followed his whole career. I'm an Ohio State fan, and I was an Evan Turner fan. Still am an Evan Turner fan. But you know how it is. It's about the roles you get put in. Kind of like how Iman Shumpert at Georgia Tech, he was a point guard. When he came to the NBA, they kind of pushed him to a 2-3. You know, he's just having the ball in his hands. Same with Evan Turner. Evan Turner, yeah, he's built like a 2-3, but he plays the point. It's tough to get shots when you have two players averaging 23 or more. In the NBA, you have to try to score 23, especially as a guard. It doesn't come as easy as your LeBron James or Kevin Durant. As a guard, you have to try. So, versus Kevin Durant, it may take him 1.5 shot attempts. For guards, it may take them 2.5, 3. Right. So that's taken away for those players. So now you finish a game, you 3 for 9. Your percentage 33%. Right. You feel me? So you only touching the ball 9 times, getting 9 shots. It's tough. So I'm happy for Evan in general. And the real MVP of the whole league, Mr. I Told You So, Mr. My Son's going to all be in the NBA.
LaVar Ball.
Playing with me. This the guy that is the reason why these high school players getting paid.
Facts.
Because the G League was like, damn, all right, well, shit. Let's take this LaVar Ball route, because we got more legitimacy than he does. And let's start playing these high school players. But when LaVar was doing it, was straight disrespect. Shout out to LaVar Ball, man. Shout out to LaVar Ball, that whole LaVar Ball family.
Shout out to the GOAT.
Even though the contract ain't guaranteed, he in the NBA.
They still in there. They're still in there. He signed to the Pistons, everybody.
One son went number one, one son went number two. Stop playing with him, bro. And he got, man, shout out.
That's insane. Like, when you really think about it. And he legit, like, said it was going to happen years ago. That's insane. He's the GOAT. I mean, that's what it is.
You can't say.
Don't be a hater.
You got 3 sons with an NBA contract. That's on some Justin Holiday, you know, the Holiday brothers type.
Yeah.
All of them. Yeah. Right.
Facts.
So shout out to LaVar Ball. Shout out to the whole Ball family. And shout out to the Ball boys in general going out there creating their own separate brand. I know Ball, LaMelo, he got a brand, some France or something. Dope. So, and I love how Jello stayed quiet, stayed out of the scenes. He's always been a quiet brother. You know how it is being a middle child. He's always been a quiet one, stayed under the ground, kept grinding. Because at the end of the day, bro, you're not about to get no contract. You're not about to get a non-guaranteed contract. You may get a two-way offer, but you're not about to get a non-guaranteed contract being trash, especially being a Ball.
Exactly, because there's so many people out there that are good that can't even get in the G League. Okay?
Yep. So. And there's a lot of people out there that don't want to be associated with LaVar Ball. So he was doing something right. And LaMelo, they shoot that thing. I'm not going to lie. Detroit Pistons, I think the team this year has become the redeem team.
Yeah, them and the Hawks.
Yes, player-wise, because they just signed my boy Josh Jackson. They also signed somebody else that
– They signed a lot of people. That was Jeremy Grant.
Yeah, you feel me?
Hawks got freaking Rondo, freaking Gallinari, Bogdanovich, everybody freaking wanted the Hawks guy. Think about that. All these contenders chasing after these players, they said, we're going to go play for the Hawks, okay? That is insane. Nobody saw that crap coming. They was not playing games.
John Collins and Clint Capella, and they still got the white redhead boy, the guard they like. They shoot it.
Oh, yeah, and they got Trae Young. So I'm excited. Listen, all I'm going to say is the fight for the eighth spot in the East, it's crazy to think about it, but it may end up being like a little dog fight because you got Russ in the East now. You have the Bucks. You got you got Miami, you got Brooklyn, you got the Hawks, Detroit, you got the Wizards, you got the Magic. We're not going to count the Cavs right now because they're not going to even
get Yeah.
Then you got, you know, Miami,
Indiana,
Boston, Indiana.
Boston, so, yeah. Yep.
And yeah, speaking of Boston, they just got Tristan Thompson. So they need a size. They got it.
Yeah, that fifth, sixth through eighth spot is going to be very interesting because, I mean, shit, all you got to do in the East is have a winning record.
Yeah.
And if you have a winning record, you can get in. And even if you don't have a winning record, all you got to do is be at least six games behind, and you will be in there. So, yeah, man, I think the Hawks can get further than just that eighth spot. I'm feeling the Hawks between six and eighth spot.
Where do you think the Wizards go?
The Wizards, I like the Wizards saying between that sixth, that fifth. Their ceiling is five, and I think the ground is seven. I think they'll make the playoffs.
I know we were like really hype watching, and when we did like the League Pass stuff, we were really hype watching the Wizards.
Yeah.
And Hashimura.
And
Ish Smith.
And our boy Thomas Bryant.
Yes, and Thomas Bryant.
Troy Brown, Gary Payton.
Davis Bertans, Troy Brown Jr. Okay.
Yeah,
Isaac Bonga.
And a lot of those guys average eight and more.
They aren't a bad team, and they just got a lottery pick. They got the Denny Avija guy from overseas. So I'm like, here's my thing. Like I said earlier, pieces are everything. Everybody's saying, oh, the Wizards. Russ can easily get that team full of potential, full of pieces, full of shooters, and make them a contender to be like a force to be reckoned with. Just like that. Him and Bradley, they can do it.
And another important thing for Russ, he don't got nobody to argue with in the stands. You feel me? You know when Russ loses,
he's gonna find someone. No, and it's good though. It's good. It's good.
I'm gonna be mad as hell if I see Russ arguing at the towel boy for.
I said. He gonna find somebody to bark at. Trust and believe. He gonna find somebody to bark at. Whether.
The towel boy didn't know you got the steal on defense that fast, Russ. He was trying to clean up. Next thing you know, Russ can't even get a dunk because the towel boy at the free throw line.
Barking at him.
Lord, fix it, Jesus. Who you got for rookie of the year?
I know James Wise is going to be utilized on Golden State pretty well. But I think I'm not going to say Obi Toppin. I'm not going to say him because it's a crazy situation with that. I'm going to say LaMelo. I think LaMelo could get it. Yeah. Because I think LaMelo out of the top three guys, and it could go to Cole Anthony or whoever, but I think it could go to LaMelo. For one, he has the fan base, and we saw what fan bases mean again when Ja Morant got robbed against, you know, Zion. We saw what fan bases mean when you have a larger fan base. So, because of that as well. But I think he's going to earn it simply because you're in Charlotte. You're going to get more time on the ball than Anthony Edwards will because he's going to the Timberwolves. Mm-hmm. He's going to play maximum a six-man role for them. He's not going to get as much touches. He's not going to start. LaMelo's going to start. So James Wiseman's going to start, but y'all have Kelly Oubre, you have Kevon Looney, you got Steph, you got Draymond. So I feel like LaMelo is going to have more, you know, time to grow and develop and to just showcase himself. And I feel like he's going to get it.
I like
that. But they're all great players.
Nah, yeah. I like LaMelo. Same with LaMelo. I think he'll have more opportunity.
Right.
Even though that team is guard heavy, I think they'll get rid of Terry Rozier before the season starts.
The Clippers need him. Somebody needs him.
Only reason why I don't like Terry Rozier with the Clippers because he's still not a playmaker.
They need someone. The Clippers.
If they was able to get Rondo or CP3, that would have been.
That would have been ideal. Yeah,
that
of course.
Been ideal, but
I don't know what they're gonna do now because you're the free agency is dang near over, and there's not any playmaking guards left. And then you know who you gonna trade for? I'm no offense, but who's gonna take Lou Will for a good playmaking guard or Pat Bev? Because I wouldn't. If I was a GM, I wouldn't get him. I said, well, Lemon Pepper Lou did in the playoffs. I definitely wouldn't get him. So it is what it is. But yeah, I think we pretty much covered everything. I think we much covered pretty much everything. It was a lot to unpack. So I'm glad we got over it, you know, got to it. So Ben, you do not have to go back and get that clip. We don't need the clip about Giannis.
What grinded your gear this week?
The hate that Russell Westbrook has been receiving. I think that's really what, you know, has been doing it for me. That, and, you know, I was on live the other day and I got off and I had some graham crackers and I like sat on a graham cracker and I got crumbs all in my bed and I was pretty pissed off about it. But other than that, I think that's pretty much it. But what about you?
What grinded my gear this week, bro? Damn, Joy is something, Joy.
Wow. Oh my goodness, y'all. This is crazy. Cause normally guys like Dot, he already has the ready to go. And he just looks so happy. He looks amazing. Wow. Great.
I don't think that really grinded my gear this.
Wow.
Yeah.
This is new. This is new. Wow.
I mean, if I did have to choose for something grinding my gear, bro, it's when people like, bro, stop getting over and going slower in front of me. Like, my nigga, stop doing that. Like,
that is annoying.
Like, why are you getting over? Just to go slower in front of me, bro. Especially if I'm in the fourth or fifth, if I'm in the lane right before the HOV, you know that fourth lane's the fast lane, okay?
Right.
Why are you getting over the man? I don't want to talk about it.
Almost lost his voice trying to talk about
it. But other than that, this wraps up this episode of the Checkup. It's your main man, B-Dot. I'm with the lovely
Joy D'Angela.
And until next time, folks, make sure you look both of the ways before crossing the street.
Please look both ways, you guys. Please. Don't get excited.
Toodles.
Bye.